chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 1 through 4. John's epistle, first epistle. Probably easier to find it working backwards. Last book being Revelation. Book before that, Jude. And before that, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We heard from the Apostle John from his Gospel. And this is a letter now that he wrote personally and specifically to the early first century church. Hear now the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. What was from the beginning, what we heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the Word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which is with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Let us pray. Lord God, once again, we thank You and praise You how You've revealed Yourself in Your Word. Your Word is truth. And Lord, it's our prayer that You would sanctify us by Your truth. Through Your Holy Spirit, Lord God, please apply it to our hearts and minds and lives today. Once again, may we not just be hearers of Your Word, but doers of Your Word. We thank this all. Thank You for this all. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Please be seated. We as Christians have certain favorite words, and we sometimes can throw those words around quite loosely sometimes. One of those words is fellowship. We're going to have our fellowship luncheon this afternoon. We're all going to meet together in fellowship at our fellowship luncheon. And we're probably going to enjoy our fellowship with one another as we meet at our fellowship luncheon and fellowship with one another. And we probably will come away here and say, oh, what a wonderful time of fellowship we had with each other at our fellowship luncheon. And won't it be great if we come back here next Sunday once again for our fellowship luncheon and fellowship with one another? Oh, isn't fellowship great? Do we take to heart the meaning of such a precious Christian word? And do we take to heart just how significant and precious and wonderful for the basis of that fellowship, what that fellowship is based upon? The word fellowship is used throughout the New Testament. It's used quite frequently in the early church history found in the book of Acts. It's used quite frequently throughout Paul's epistles, whether it be Galatians or 1st and 2nd Corinthians or Ephesians or Philippians. Now here it's the Apostle John, and he's using that very same word, fellowship. And it's very easy for us to think about fellowship in terms of one another. Because, hey, we see each other on a fairly regularly basis. In fact, Paul admonishes us in Hebrews not to forsake the fellowship, the coming together, meeting with other Christians. We understand and we see this term in relationship to who we are and in our human relationships to one another. But do we understand the depth and the richness of Christian fellowship? And do we understand the depth and the richness of which that fellowship is based? That fellowship is not just about who we are and how we relate to one another and how we get along with one another. But it is based on a much deeper, a much greater, a much glorious, a much wonderful fellowship which we have with our Creator, loving God. Eternal, omnipotent, omniscient,
omnipresent, transcendent, glorious God. First of all, let's understand the direct meaning of that word, koinonia. That Greek word, which we translate as fellowship. It's not simply being best friends forever. It's not just simply, hey, this is who I work with every day and see at work 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. It's not just, hey, this is mom and dad, this is brother and sister. We all live in the same house. We all hang out with each other. We all fight with each other. We all love each other. We all have picnics with each other. No, and it's not just about people coming from various backgrounds and walks of life here on Long Island and coming and meeting here for pizza on Sunday afternoon. It's not just about human relationship and how we get along with each other. We all have varying degrees and levels of relationship with one another. Even in this church, some of us know each other very well, have been through many different experiences with one another. Some of us just know each other to say, hey, that's the guy I see walking in the parking lot with me when I'm late for church. Fellowship is not just knowing someone or spending time with someone or being aware of someone. Fellowship, in its most basic meaning, means to have communion with someone. Not just a relationship with someone. It means to have communion with someone. Not just know someone at a distance, but to be intimate and have union with someone. To have intimate, personal knowledge of one another. To be so connected. To be so a part of one another. That you share in the same blessings. You share in the same knowledge of God. You share in His very love for you. If we take what John is saying here to heart today and truly believe what John is saying here in these first few verses of John, 1 John, do you realize that those of you who are saved and know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ here at Hope Reformed Baptist Church is even more meaningful and more wonderful and more glorious than with even your mother and your father? Is more wonderful, more glorious, more powerful, more meaningful, more significant than a relationship with your husband and wife? And it's more wonderful, more glorious, more powerful, more amazing, more gracious, more loving than the relationship you have with your best friends forever. Your fellowship, your connection, your communion, your personal shared blessing and love that you have with one another is because by God's grace He sent his Son Jesus Christ into this world so that you could have true, knowing, intimate, personal, wonderful, glorious, loving fellowship, connection with one another. Take that to heart as you meet around pizza this afternoon. Now, it's not just us getting together and finding out, oh, what happened in each other's weeks this past week, happened in each other's lives this past week. It's not just us about, oh, I had an interesting insight into this Bible verse. I wanted to question you about it. Let's talk about it. It's not just about, hey, I'm having a great time with my friends here at Hope Reformed Baptist Church. I am in the very presence of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, by the power and the working of His Holy Spirit, and by the saving, sanctifying work that He's done in my life and done in the lives with all these other people He's brought here together at Hope Reformed Baptist Church to worship Him and serve Him and glorify Him and know Him. Pastor Jensen last week was speaking to us from Genesis and made it very clear to us how our relationship with God, how our personal, intimate, knowing, loving fellowship with God came to a severe, striking end when man rebelled against Him and sinned against Him. Where God and man could no longer enjoy each other and walk with each other through all of paradise and enjoy and experience all that God had created for our good and for His glory. How that wonderful, beautiful relationship, how God had poured out His love on us, how He brought us together, how He made man and woman and made man and woman together for each other, and how He gave faithful stewardship over man and woman to enjoy all of His creation and to take care of all His creation. How that all came to a sudden, abrupt, and violent end. We can no longer enjoy God or His creation anymore because we sinned against Him. We couldn't know God. We couldn't be intimate with Him. We couldn't have communion with Him. We couldn't be connected with Him. We couldn't share in His blessing and His love anymore because we sinned against Him. We couldn't know life anymore. Because we didn't know our Creator anymore. It all came to an abrupt end. But as we read last week, did God leave us in such a helpless estate? Did He leave us in that misery? Or did He promise us His Son, Jesus Christ, to come into this world and to restore us to fellowship with God? Does Jesus' great high priestly prayer say something more to you now? When Jesus was praying, Father, Thy will be done. Oh, Father, may those You've called and given to me, may those I discipled and preached Your word to those that will believe and hear from them what I've taught them. Oh, Father, I pray that they would know You and know Your glory. Oh, I pray that they would be one with us. Oh, I pray that they would have eternal life, knowing us. Here is eternal life. Not to live forever and ever, amen. That's not how the Bible defines eternal life. The Bible defines eternal life to know God and to know His Son, Jesus Christ, forever and ever, amen. And that's what Jesus was praying for. that we would have fellowship with God, that we would know Him, that we would experience Him, that we would love Him, that we'd have this communion with Him. We would have this shared blessing and love with Him forever and ever. And why? Because Christ was taking away our sins by His death on the cross and His resurrection. And that's what was on Jesus' heart before He went to the cross. That was His prayer. The main thing on His mind was not, "Oh God, please deal with all the political and economic corruption and sin that exists in the Roman Empire. Oh God, please deal with all the political and economic and corruption and sin that exists in Israel today. Oh God, please bring down Your wrath on these pagan idolaters of Rome. Oh God, bring down Your wrath upon these false teachers within Israel. Oh God, please heal all the sick people in the world. Oh God, stop all the disease in the world. Oh God, stop all the hurricanes and tornadoes and tsunamis. Stop all those things. Oh God, find a cure for cancer. Oh God, give all my disciples jobs." No, it was on His mind before He went to the cross and before He took on our just punishment. He wanted His disciples to know God. To know life and know abundant life. The only life that's found in Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. To be one with Him. Have union with Him. Communion with Him. Connection. Intimacy. Inseparable love from God. And that's what He was praying for. And that's what John speaks of here. In these first few verses, John is telling us here, God answered that prayer. There's much debate when John wrote his writings. When did he write Revelation? When did he write these epistles? When did he write his gospel? I don't know the answer to that. But I know this. John understood the love of God. And John understood how everything fit together. John was fully aware of how God showed us His love in His Son, Jesus Christ. And how God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world so that we would know Him forever and ever. And that he always emphasized that point. Whether he was writing the book of the Revelation, or whether he's writing the Gospel of John, or he's writing these epistles to the early first century church, he understood that this was all about us knowing and loving and having fellowship with God. And so he tells us in these first four verses, God answered Jesus' prayer. He reminds the early church of everything that he expounded on and explained in 1 John. He explains how Christ came into this world so that man could be reconciled to God and have fellowship with God. He says here what was from the beginning, what we have heard and what we have seen with our eyes and what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested. We have seen and we have testified and we proclaim to you this eternal life which we have with the Father, which was manifested to us. What we have seen, what we have heard, we proclaim to you also. Who is he talking about there? Why does he use the word of life? He's basically giving a summation of everything he said in the Gospel of John in the first chapter. In the first chapter, what does he tell us? He says, in the beginning, there was the Word. There was the Logos. What does Logos mean? It's a Greek term. It's a Greek concept. Yes, literally it means Word, but what kind of Word? In the Greek thinking, in the Greek understanding, the word Logos meant ultimate truth, the ultimate Word. Why we're here, why we think, why we function. What motivates us? Ultimate truth, Logos. John goes on and says that Logos, that truth, became flesh. In other words, ultimate truth, ultimate knowledge, ultimate understanding, the ultimate Word, that's found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the Logos. I am the Word. And that Word and that truth became flesh, became a human being, and came, and not only came and made an appearance to us. No, as John 1:14 says, He came and He dwelt among us. He lived with us. He was a part of our day-to-day lives. God became something that we could touch and hear and listen to and feel and know. And He lived with us. That's what John is saying here. Jesus, the Logos. Jesus, the Word of life. I saw Him. I heard Him. I touched Him. When the crowds clamored around Him to seek His healing, I got pushed into Him. I felt His body against mine. When I heard Him preach the Word of God and He preached with such authority, I heard Him with my ears. When He was risen from the dead and He showed His wounds to Thomas, and commanded Thomas to believe, I saw Him. I saw the risen Christ. I saw the risen Logos. I saw the risen way, truth, and life. I saw God Almighty. He's real. I saw Him suffer and die on the cross. I heard Him cry out, Eloi, Eloi, sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I saw Him took on the wrath of God. I ran to the empty tomb. I saw the stone rolled away. I saw that Jesus' body was no longer there. And I saw Him, He appeared to me. He showed me His wounds. He showed me that He was risen and risen indeed. I testify to you. I witness to you. Here's the truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God came into this world in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we may have fellowship with Him. When we neither sought Him, when we neither prayed to Him, when we neither obeyed Him, when we neither trusted Him or obeyed Him, He came and reached out to us and sought us. When we told Him we wanted nothing to do with Him or have any fellowship with Him, He came to us and wanted to have fellowship with us. When Thomas doubted and questioned, and said, I don't believe a word you guys are saying. Jesus went to him and said, here, Thomas, look at my wounds. I'm here. Let's sit down and eat. You think you're ready to believe, Thomas? believe Thomas. Jesus sought Thomas out. Jesus sought us out. God sought us out. God wanted to have fellowship with us when we didn't want to have fellowship with Him. He wanted to have a loving, intimate, personal, communal, intimate, connected, loving relationship with you. He wanted you to know Him and understand Him and appreciate Him and know His love and His blessing forever and ever. And that's why He prayed so earnestly for us.
John says, what we have seen, what we have heard, we proclaim to you also. And why?
So yes, you can have fellowship with us. You can be a part of the church. We all share this same common belief. We all share the same common blessing of being saved and sanctified by Christ. We all share in the Holy Spirit who's changed our lives around. We all have one Lord, one faith, one baptism in Jesus Christ. We have fellowship with one another. What's that fellowship based on? So that we can have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship with one another is subject to our fellowship with God. Jesus prayed specifically for that. What did He pray for? I pray, Father, that they would know us just like we know each other. I pray, Father, that they would love us just like we love one another. What did the Council of Nicaea find? They said Jesus was of the very same substance as God the Father. They are one with each other. Although they are two distinct persons, they are one. They have communion with one another. They have fellowship with one another. They share in the same love, the same purposes, the same focus, the same desires, the same will. They are so connected with one another, you can't separate them. They carry out the same purposes. They have the same desires. Oh, Heavenly Father, you had this desire to save yourself a people. You gave those people to me. I agreed with that. I actually kept these people and I preached the word to those people, the people you gave me. I accomplished your purposes. We had the same plan. We had the same direction. We had the same desire to see these people saved and to know you and to have eternal life. You love me. I love you. The way we show that love for each other is to carry out the same common purpose and plan and will to save ourselves a people. And God, that's my prayer, that that will be accomplished. Why do men and women get married? Pastor Jensen preached on that a couple of weeks ago, too. Talking about the love that exists between a man and a woman. Made it very clear to us, no, it's not just about tingly feelings, to quote Pastor Jensen. No, a man and a woman are made one. Two people become one. And two people share a love and a blessing with one another and sharing the same purposes and direction in life with one another. That is the same love that exists between God the Father and Christ the Son. And here's Jesus praying that we would share in that just as well. We would share in that same common love, that same common purpose, that same common direction, that same common blessing in life. We would share in that same fellowship. We would be joined together and live out life together with the same love, the same blessing, the same knowledge, the same appreciation, the same understanding, for God and His Son, Jesus Christ. How does John sum this up? The reason I'm writing these things, the reason I'm preaching to you and proclaiming to you that Christ was a real person, He's God Himself, and He came into this world to give eternal life so that we could have fellowship with one another and have fellowship with God. The reason I'm doing that, these things I write so that our joy may be complete. Don't ever let anyone tell you God doesn't want you to be happy. Don't let anyone ever tell you God doesn't want you to be joyful. The only thing that God tells us and explains to us is that we can't find real joy except in Him and the love He's shown us in His Son, Jesus Christ. But He wants you to be joyful. This brought joy to John's heart. To know that others would be able to share in the fellowship of God. To know the truth, that their sins have been taken away, that they've been redeemed, that they've been reconciled and made one with God. To know Him and His glory forever. It brought joy to him. There are a lot of things in this world that can give us joy. Our family can give us joy. Our jobs can give us joy. Our day-to-day experiences can give us joy. How many people were asked on Tuesday morning, how was your weekend? Oh, it was great. We had a barbecue. Went and saw the air show. We had a great time. But do those things have any meaning or significance outside of who God is? We can lose our family members. We can lose our job. And we can have a good day on Sunday, but then we have to go back to work on Monday. Does our joy last when our joy is just based on our experiences and day-to-day quirks? See, when we understand we're created by God and we were created to know Him and to love Him and to enjoy Him forever, and to see His glory and to share in His glory, we see our family, our jobs, our day-to-day living, we see all those things in light of who He is and what He's blessed us with and how He's given us all those things to know Him and to know His love and to know His glory. And we also begin to understand those things don't even begin to compare to knowing God and His glory. We begin to understand, hey, no, real eternal life is not to live forever so that we can have a family and work and have fun every day. No, eternal life is to know God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and to know His glory, and to know His love, and to know His blessing, and to be one with Him. To be one with Him as Christ is one with Him. Pastor Jensen reminded us last week. He loves us the same way He loves Jesus. Take that to heart. He wants to keep giving you that love. He wants to share life with you. We're married to Christ. We have union with Christ. Just as a man and a woman come together to become one and enjoy life together, here's Christ making us His bride and loving us so that we may know the Father and know all His purposes and plans and will for our lives and know all His love and blessing in our lives, to have communion with Him, to be connected to Him, to be intimate with Him. The created to know the Creator and the life He has for us. That's fellowship. That's what Christ died for. That's what Christ was raised for. That's why we come here and worship. Yes. That's why we come and eat pizza with each other in the afternoon. We can know and love God. Know Him eternally. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, what sweet fellowship we have with You through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord God, that You love us as You love Your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, how You want to make Yourself known to us. Your truth, Your love, Your righteousness, Your holiness, Your glory. How You want to make that all known to us and to experience it and to enjoy it. Oh, Lord God, how You loved us and showed us mercy that in the fullness of time You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. As the Apostle John goes on and reminds us, here in His love, not that we loved You, but that You loved us and You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to be an atonement for our sins. So we can know You forever, have fellowship with You. Oh, Lord God, we thank You and praise You for that fellowship. May we thrive, may we strive, may we desire, may we pursue after, may we live that fellowship out every day. May we pray without ceasing, may we study Your Word day and night. May we grow in our love and faith and knowledge of You, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we abide in You, Lord Jesus. Make us open to Your Holy Spirit. Through Your Holy Spirit, write Your law in our hearts and our minds and our wills. Make Yourself known to us, Lord God. Bless that fellowship we have with You through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, and Lord God, if there is anyone here this day who doesn't know that sweet fellowship, put it upon their heart. Give them a yearning and a desire to know You, to know eternal life, to know Your glory, Your love, Your blessing, the saving, sanctifying work of Your Son, Jesus Christ, forever and ever. Speak to their hearts. Save Your people, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord God, that we would know Your love, that we would be one with You forever and ever. Lord, we lift up the same prayer our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, prayed. And it's in His name we ask all these things. Amen.